Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Stacy St. Clair from the Chicago Tribune, a terrific reporter over there and a longtime friend of this show, joins us from the press room at the Jason Van Dyke trial. Hi, Stacy. It's John. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. So we're talking about Laquan McDonald's killing, and he's charged with murder, 16 counts of, what is it, aggravated battery?
16 counts of aggravated battery. He was originally charged with 6 counts of first-degree murder, but prosecutors dropped 4 of those counts today, so now he's only facing 2 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of official misconduct.
They are on recess right now. I know you've stepped into the press room for us. What's happening?
Jurors right now are watching, again, a video of the shooting, and they're being walked through it by a FBI forensics expert who's sort of walking them by sort of second by second of 2 different videos they have, one from a squad car and then one from the Dunkin' Donuts nearby the shooting scene.
I'm familiar with the one from the squad car. That's the one I suppose most of us have seen where he's walking right down the street and he gets shot. Does the other video show add some other context?
Not really, no. But I think one of the reasons the prosecution is showing it is because, you know, the defense today in their opening statement said this video, one of the reasons that Van Dyke pulled his trigger was because Laquan McDonald was making a run for and planning to attack the Dunkin' Donuts, and then so it was a matter of protecting the public when he fired his gun. And so far the video that's been shown that I've seen did not show that.
Well, the prosecution goes first, then the defense. Do we know what the defense is essentially going to be?
Yeah, the defense is going to be that Jason Van Dyke had was afraid for his own safety and for safety, the safety of the public. So he was trying to protect both himself and the public when he fired his gun.
You got any more than that?
No, that's the whole case. If Jason Van Dyke convinces this jury that he had a reasonable fear for his life or the life of any other member of the public, then when he fired that first shot, he was legally justified in doing so. And if the jury finds that first shot was legal, under state law, the 16th shot is legal, and that's the end of the case. That's what they need to prove.
Stacey, a little light just went on in my head. That is, sure, you can say that this young man might have been a danger to the public or the police. He could have turned on them and come after them. But at that instant, I mean, I wonder if this is how this thing is going to be sliced, right? Maybe he would have been a threat to somebody, but clearly he was walking away from the officers at the time. I wonder how they're going to resolve that.
Yeah, that is not what the defense told the jury today. The defense told the jury that, hey, you may have already seen this video, and this video you're going to see will show you one vantage point. And that vantage point is not what Jason Van Dyke was seeing. That is the vantage point of another officer squad car. So what they said that they've done is they have recreated their own video. It's an animated video that will show the jury what it looks like from Jason Van Dyke's vantage point.
That's
and they said, once you see our creation, you're gonna see that our guy was justified in shooting. But I will say this whole protect the Dunkin' Donuts defense, that is new. I've been covering this case for a long time now, and no one has ever said the Dunkin' Donuts was about to be attacked.
We have the video from the Dunkin' Donuts. Was he heading in the direction of that place?
He's walking. It's on Pulaski, right? And he's walking down Pulaski. And there's a disagreement whether you think he's walking, you know, if you're the prosecutors, you say he's walking straight down Pulaski. If you're, you know, the defense, you say there's a moment where he sort of turns. And that's what the jury is going to have to decide.
Will the judge allow this animation since it's not the actual video? I guess so, huh?
He will, but he did ban it from being shown during opening statements, and he did allow the prosecution to show the dash cord video, as we all know it. He did allow that to be shown during opening statements.
You haven't seen this animated video, then?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Stacey, I'm intrigued by that, though. That's a perspective, now that you mention it, that we haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing that's undisputed. The vantage point of this video, you are not seeing what Jason Van Dyke saw. You are seeing what a fellow officer saw, or that his squad car saw, I guess, on the scene that night.
Can you just briefly comment, and then I'll let you go, on the personality or the style of the attorneys for both sides? How are they doing it?
Sure. They are exact opposites. McMahon, the special prosecutor, he's very workmanlike, very methodical, sort of walked the jury during his opening statements through a minute by minute of what happens once that 911 call comes in, reporting an attempted burglary, and then all the way up to the shooting. But he did have a really good moment for him where he sort of counted out the shots for the jury. And when he gets to 8 shots, he says, "And we're only halfway there." And he keeps saying, you know, 8, 9, 10. So that was a pretty dramatic moment for him. He also brought race into it for the first time publicly from a prosecutor. And he said, "Laquan McDonald was shot because he was a black boy who had the audacity not to stop walking when the police told him to." And that was sort of jarring for everyone in the press because the prosecution really hasn't talked about race in the lead up. To the contrary, you know, Dan Herbert is a longtime FOP attorney. He's very dramatic in court, very passionate, arms flailing, voice rising, and, you know, he gave what I would call a classic Dan Herbert opening. Very emotional, very passionate, very staunchly behind his guy.
I guess it's too early to wonder if you can get any read on the jurors, eh?
You know, the first day of the trial is always the same with the jury. Everyone has sort of like that stone expression, you know, in their face, and they take everything, you know, very seriously. If we check back in like, you know, a week and a half with me, and I'll tell you like when they start rolling their eyes and when they start giving each other side looks and everything. But the first couple of days, everybody sort of, you know, keeps that neutral expression.
Will other officers be called to testify?
Yeah, there already was one today, Joseph McGillett. And he was the officer who first responded to the call of the attempted burglary, and he followed behind on foot Laquan McDonald for several minutes, and he said that he knew Laquan had a knife and that he pulled his gun. You know, he drew his gun, but he never fired it because he didn't think that his life was in danger, and he didn't think that his partner's life was in danger, and he knew that they had called for a taser unit and that a taser unit was on its way. He said, "We were just going to be patient."
Well, that's not good for Mr. Van Dyke, is it?
Probably not, no.
Probably.
I don't want to get in the jury's mind, but yeah, no.
But I mean, yeah, because that's... I think critical. Some people are critical of these other officers who also filed reports that didn't seem to match the video. We're not hearing from those guys, though, are we?
No, the officer who... we might. There's been talk about that, but the officer who testified this morning has never faced disciplinary, has not been accused of wrongdoing in this case, and he's still a police officer. He was wearing his uniform on the stand.
Stacey St. Clair writes for the Chicago Tribune. You can read her story online, I presume. Are you filing reports as the afternoon goes?
We are live blogging and tweeting, and we are on every platform you could imagine right now.
Nice to talk to you, Stacey. I'll let you
always
back to your work. We'll read you in the paper tomorrow, too.
All right. Take care, guys.
That's Stacey St. Clair, reporter for the Chicago Tribune.